Welcome to the Edinburgh Fringe. And in the classic words of Douglas Rain, open the pod bay doors, Fringe. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. It's the Fringe. I'm running slightly slower today. Oh, what fun I had yesterday. All of that stays in my head. A little bit comes out in the podcast. You know the numbers now, 3,500 shows, and we are not going to get all of them in. We get one in for the episode. A delightful chat later on with Colleen Levin and her artificial intelligent machine learning emotion reading robot that she's brought to Edinburgh. Yes, indeed. So what's been going on with the Fringe over the last 24 hours? Well, it's the normal life and times, really. More shortlists coming out, more reviews being published. A little look, I think it was British Comedy Guide were saying that they've analysed the number of reviews that are out there, and it's a little bit down on last year. Well, a little bit down, it's down for a bit. But also, the number of publications are down as well. Some new ones have sprung up. More have either not turned up at the Fringe or are no longer with us. So the ideas of the pressures and the economies of the Fringe are just sort of just pushing a little bit harder. We are, of course, in the eye of a storm. It's a three-week-long storm. It's a four-week-long storm. It's however long you want to make it storm. But we will have a look at those numbers, you know, once we get back from the Fringe, even though technically I'm always here in the same studio, but once we get out of the Fringe's sphere, we can have a look at those numbers and, you know, are reviews up or reviews down, or ticket sales up and down, what's the sort of split between free Fringe and paid Fringe, all of that to come. Shortlist as well. Today's shortlist, let's highlight So You Think You're Funny. Gilded Balloons search for a new comic star every year. Well, the shortlist has been published for the Grand Gala finale. Notable this year, the maximum of 9 performers that will go through to the grand final has been reached and exceeded. Katie and Karen Corner have put 10 names through to the competitive show, which will be taking place on August 24th. And chaired by Maisie Adams, chaired MCing. There are chairs on the judging committee. I don't have them to hand right now, so you will just have to do that. Show there. Tickets are available for that one, as always. Okay, on to the interview. One part of the Edinburgh Fringe for every performer is being judged, be that by the audience, by the industry, by the reviewers, even though it seems to be less of them, and pretty much every part of the business of the arts, which makes it all the more interesting that Colleen Levin has not only built a robot to judge her, but she's brought it to the Fringe and doing it live every day in front of an audience. The show is Do the Robots Think I'm Funny? And Colleen asks what it means to be insecure in the modern world, how comedy and improv mix, the differences between a room in Chicago and a room in Edinburgh, the difference that an air conditioning noise can make to this whole show. But underneath it all is a nagging question. A nagging question that seems very relevant right now. Will we all be replaced by robots? The show itself is at Greenside, Riddles Court. Times vary, check listings for details, and we're going to go straight into the chat with Colleen Levin.
Yes, hello! I'm so happy to be here. It feels... kind of ridiculous, because long before I ever thought I'd be at the Fringe, I lived vicariously through your podcast. So it's so good to be here.
Colleen Levin joins the podcast, as you've heard already. Very excited, bringing the show to the Fringe. But I think you're a first on here.
Ooh, am
I? Apart from it, it's the first time you've been on here, obviously. I think this is the first time we've had a stand-up who's got a GitHub link on their homepage. And I suspect that only 2 people listening knows what that is. So GitHub is a place where programmers, hackers, and coders store their code so it can be shared with other people. Your homepage has all of this tech and computers and programming and nothing at all about your stand-up.
So that will change in the next day. I'm getting a new website up, I promise. I've just been having some difficulties with cPanel, which really going deep, but that's the ancient hosting technology that every hosting company seems to use and that only works like 85% of the time.
I know you've given away you're recording this in July, but hey, you know, secrets of the podcast, that's what we all do.
We're in the past.
Or in the future, because if we are in the future, we'd have robots judging us at talent contests. And Howie Mandel, as far as I know, is not a robot. Simon Cowell, jury's out. But Do the Robots Think I'm Funny is the show. Tell us about it.
All right. So if you're alive in the world in 2023, there's a pretty good chance that you cannot go anywhere without hearing AI this, AI that, AI is coming for your jobs, AI is taking over the world, AI is going to steal your wife and your children and your life, and also possibly do your PowerPoints for you. And that started making me really, really anxious. So I wrote a show about it, about what it's like to be human, what it's like to feel like robots are coming for you, and just what it all means. Can robots actually be funny? But can they tell if we're even funny? So the thing about this show is, on stage with me, there's going to be a decapitated robot head that determines whether or not I am actually funny. And it is real technology that has been programmed to use sentiment analysis to detect whether or not an audience is laughing or clapping or sitting in silence, staring at me and wondering why they wasted an hour of their life. And at the end, it'll determine whether or not I'm funny, and I'll determine whether or not I care what the robot says. Now, this is real technology. I've trained it on rooms around here in Chicago where I'm from. So once I'm in Edinburgh at the Fringe, I will give it some new data and update the machine learning model that I've built. But right now it uses Chicago data. So hopefully you guys don't laugh in a different accent.
But you've hit one of the big problems there. You're training this in Chicago, not in Edinburgh.
Yes.
And true. I know why that would be different. But how would you explain that that is different?
All right. So the main thing, and this isn't even just a Chicago versus Edinburgh thing. This is a one room versus another thing. And I've trained it on data from different rooms. But until I'm in my venue, Clover Studios, Riddle Court, Greenside, by the way, anyone listening, until I'm in my venue, I don't know what background noise it has. Maybe there's a pipe that keeps on making weird little noises that could sound like clapping. Maybe there's a fan that from a distance sounds like applause and laughter. And I really would love to have that fan. Please, somebody send me that. That sounds wonderful. But until I'm there, we know as an audience what that is. We know that that's not laughter, it's not applause. But as smart as computers are, they're kind of stupid when it comes to that. And so if I don't retrain it, it might think, oh, she's way funnier than she actually is.
Kind of robot you want when you're Edinburgh.
I know, but should we care what the robots think? Come on, should we? Does the robot, in this case especially, the robot isn't actually doing the thinking. The robot is just telling us what it thinks the audience thinks.
What I find interesting about this is that, yes, it is. It's a new solution. It's a new thing. It's a new angle. But it's also a new angle on an incredibly age-old question that you come across, especially at the Fringe, but throughout all walks of comedy. Different rooms and different audiences have different reactions, and the stand-up needs to react on the fly. The actor needs to, if you're doing it theater, needs to react on the fly. And any performers constantly doing this checking and back checking and thinking about how it worked in other rooms, all you've done is you've given this a chance at the fringe. Aren't you patient zero for robots taking over the fringe because you're bringing this technology?
So that actually goes into something that I talk about in the show, which is the idea of doom and gloom, is the idea that robots can take over the fringe, can take over the world. Is that actually just marketing? I know my technology. Look, I built this robot. It's not going to take over the fringe. I'm not that smart. I'm tolerably bright, but I'm not smart enough to write a program that has taken over the entire fringe. I'm smart enough to do the crossword puzzle most days and to write a passable program, but this program is not going to take over the fringe. It's not going to spell doom and gloom. It's, if anything, the cynic in me says part of this is capitalizing on a buzzword and making people think, oh, hey, it's taking over. But really, really what it is examining whether robots can do that, whether we can work with them. Is it like elevator operators when the elevator was invented, or is it like player pianos? So player pianos came on the scene back when pianos were a big status symbol. Pianos were in every bar, and you had to put in a spool, but it was a lot cheaper than hiring a pianist. And they took over for a little while, but when's the last time you've seen a player piano somewhere where the thing wasn't, hey, look, we have a player piano, and it was actual entertainment? Has it been ever? No, because it went away. But we did build on that technology. And I think that there's a lot that we can go into. And I think that there's a lot that we can examine. Like, I'd say the more concerning aspect of my show, or at least of my fringe process, shouldn't be that I am bringing a robot and bringing it in to, if anything, it's not even replacing the comedian, it's replacing the audience to an extent, which, hey, it's a small room. I'll get another warm body in there, even if the warm body is electronic, but overheating battery. But the thing that's worried me more, and the thing that I think a lot of us have, is for my marketing, for my flyers specifically, one thing that I did is I have a double-sided flyer. And one side was made with a real picture of me, and one side is made with a completely AI-generated picture. And to me, that is way more worrying. And that's, I'm going to be asking people if they can tell the difference, if they can guess. I tested this, by the way, 2 days ago, and the person I tested it on was my mother, who does know what I look like. And she got it right, but she didn't get it right by looking at my face. She got it right by, I quote, saying, well, I thought if it was AI generated, your shirt wouldn't have been wrinkled.
These are such big issues that are really hard to compress down in sound bites. And I think that's one of the things that I see as an issue, which is, you know, we are talking about complicated machine learning that can do specific things, yet the media seems to turn it around into hype as the robots are going to take over. And how do you balance the reality of what you know is complicated machine learning and AI parts next to, I need to get it onto a flyer?
Yes, it's a giant, complex topic, but I would argue, so the show is about, does have technology at the core, but it's more of a show about insecurity. Because in my mind, that was at least my big reaction, my big anxiety around AI was insecurity and questioning my worth as a human, and also a little bit of the, oh no, if it can do a lot of my job, am I even worth it? Is more of my identity than is healthy wrapped up in my job and all of that. And it's the part where I talk about the complexity of AI isn't actually a huge part of the show. It's in there, but it's more, that's more the robot on stage that's giving it. It's more of a show about the weirdness of life, about all of the oddities, about all of that. And I think that actually for the flyer for the getting people in, I'm not going, at least my strategy, and this is, again, it's pre-fringe, who knows if this is working, but my strategy at this point is to tell people, hey, is AI keeping you up at night? Is it weird? Are you as anxious about this as I am? Have you had any, do you want to hear me have a breakdown so you don't have to? It's that. It's not, this is not a TED Talk. I didn't want to do a TED Talk. I didn't want to do a show that was all about AI ethics, every single thing. I want it to be funny above all else. I want it to be a good time. I want it to encapsulate the weirdness, the stuff that even if generative AI had more intelligence, even if it went a lot more, it couldn't write because it's experientially based, and AI does not have the capacity for trauma at this point. So can it even really be that funny? And that's a very long-winded way of answering your question, but so far I haven't felt that I need to perpetuate the gloom and doom. And if anything, I'd like to hope that this is a more, not necessarily optimistic response. Like, I do think the show is optimistic, but I think my thoughts on AI doom and gloom are more realistic than optimistic or pessimistic.
It is a show that brings up a huge amount of thought and questions and laughter and moments. And it's one of the things about Fringe as a whole, not just Edinburgh, that I love, is it actually raises more questions after the hour that just stay with you.
I hope so. And so AI wasn't the only trigger for this, for me writing this show, for the insecurity. A big thing, and I touch on this very early on in the show, so I'm not giving anything really away, but a big thing that made me have a little bit of a crisis, that made me want to write this show, is someone I'm close to, a family member, they saved someone's life. Like, they ran into a burning building. And afterwards, I just started thinking, would I have done that? Am I that good a person? Am I a good person? I know I am a person, but am I good at being a person? I don't think I'm a bad person, but it was a lot of questions that I had. And that just happened to coincide with AI going everywhere. Like, would a robot be a better person than me? Well, a robot couldn't save someone from a burning building either. But at least not with the current state of technology.
Normally, this is the point where I go, where and when can people come and see the show? You've made this complicated as well, haven't you?
I've made it complicated. No, I got a later start than most. And I was on the fence about, this is my first Fringe show, and I was on the fence about whether or not I could really do this, I could go to the Fringe, and by the time I solidified that I could and that I would and that I really desperately wanted to, the show slot that I got, which is at the fabulous Clover Studio in Greenside Riddles Court, the beautiful 22-seat room. It is, by the time I got that slot, the show times are different every week. So I highly recommend that people check out edfringe.com, look at the timetables. It's the first week of Fringe, I'm on at 12:35. The second week, I'm on at 5:15 p.m. And the third week, I'm on at 1:45 p.m. But again, go into edfringe.com, click on my name, and please come see the show and my robot and me.
Okay. Hold on. Did you just say that you've given the robot a name there?
I've given the robot two different names, and I go back and forth on them depending on how annoyed I am at the robot. The robot... So, the main name that I've given the robot is called Gort, because there's this movie from many years ago called The Day the Earth Stood Still. It is a fantastic movie. One of the best sci-fi movies of all time, and the alien robot creature was named Gort. But when the robot's really annoying me, I call it Murderbot because I want to murder the robot.
But for now, Colleen, fascinating project. Many, many questions. You've got your first experience of the Fringe to look forward to in all of that as well. Thank you for taking the time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been fantastic.
Colleen Levin there. Do the robots think I'm funny? Well, I know one thing about robots. They very rarely link, like, love, share, subscribe, and do the usual things that social media asks you to do on other social media. So there we go. I still have, is it an advantage or a disadvantage that I ask you to leave anything between a 1 and 5 star review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and the various other places? I'm not sure. Anyway, Greenside Riddles Court Times Ferry. Check listings for details. You can navigate the Edinburgh Fringe's complicated, convoluted search engine system, or you can just go to our website and get a link straight into the box office to buy your tickets, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. So, yep, we're coming up. It is big weekend coming up. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Really, this is the last chance to put on a really big spectacular to pull in people for the last week. Or this might be your opening weekend. Not everybody is coming up for the full 3-4, however long it is, run this year. So we've got debuts happening this weekend. We've got final curtain calls. We've got in the middle slog trying to push through. All of that happening at the Fringe. Remember the three. Go and find something you like. Go and find something somebody else likes. And go and find something at random that you're going to realise that you love forever and ever and ever and ever. Until you realise that the Scottish Falsetto Sock Puppet Theatre isn't in Edinburgh in 2023. And you'll have to find something else. Kevin the Socks will be back next year. I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for your time today. Ta-ra for now. You've been listening to the Edinburgh Fringe Show, hosted by Ewan Spence, produced by The Podcast Corner. Listen to more from The Fringe at edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com.